This rig rundown is presented by the Yamaha DXR series.
I'm here with Vivian Campbell of Def Leppard. Man, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
My pleasure. Nice to be here.
It's great to see you playing Les Pauls again, because I mean, you were like always the Les Paul guy for me, and I remember you've gotten into other ones, but...
Well, I went around the house. I started with a Les Paul. You know, even when I was a kid growing up, my first guitar hero was such... Well, the first guy that turned me on to rock and roll was Mark Bolan, and he had a Les Paul. I thought, okay, I want that. But it was Rory Gallagher was my first real guitar hero. There's the first albums I owned, first concert I saw was Rory, and he, of course, had that iconic beat-up Strat.
Right.
So for a couple of years, I kept badgering my parents. I want a Fender Stratocaster. But then I discovered the guitar players from Thin Lizzy.
Yeah.
When I was about 13 or 14 or so.
Who you later played with.
I did. I had a brief stint with Thin Lizzy in 2011, which was golden, actually. It totally reignited my passion for playing guitar again. But the Lizzy guitar players, Scott Gorham and Brian Robertson, of course, played Les Pauls. And then it was in later years, getting into Thin Lizzy, I discovered a guitar player called Gary Moore.
For sure.
Who, of course, became my ultimate influence, I think. And in other words, I really ripped him off. But but he, of course, played Peter Green's famous 59 flame top. So that was it. I just wanted a Les Paul. And I ended up, this was Belfast in the 1970s where I was growing up. And we didn't have Guitar Center or Musician's Friend or anything like that. I mean, I literally went into the little mom and pop music store and I was 15 at the time. I ordered a gold Les Paul standard. Because I was also a bit of a Paul Kossoff fan. I kind of wanted a gold one.
Sure.
And I waited for months and months and months, maybe about 6, 8, 9 months, something like that. And every week I'd stop by off the bus, off of school, and I'd stop in any guitars yet. And then months passed, and then one day I stopped in there going, "You got a Les Paul yet?" And they said, "Well, good news and bad news." They said, "We've got a Gibson Les Paul, but it's not gold and it's not a standard." They actually had a wine red deluxe.
Oh.
And... I bought the guitar because I was just too impatient. I didn't want to wait another 7 months to get a guitar.
Do you remember what it cost back?
It was 500 and something pounds. I think it was like £580, which was a lot of money. Probably about $1,000 near enough in today's money, which, you know, 1977 was a lot of money. And I had to work every weekend, every school holiday, every summer for years because I was paying it off.
Yeah.
You know, I got a grown-up friend of mine to actually sign, to take responsibility for it, which was very, very sweet of him. But... I worked so hard for that guitar, like hardcore physical manual labor. And, you know, when you invest that much in an instrument, you know so much about it. I still to this day have the serial number burned in my mind, 7-7-2-9-8-7-5-3-7, you know. But I took the guitar and I modded every aspect of it. The only reason I took it, I thought, well, Scott Gorham and Thin Lizzy, he plays a deluxe, so I guess it's okay. But as soon as I heard the little skinny buckers, I thought, no, I need something more chunky. So I rooted it out, put humbuckers in it. This isn't it, by the way, obviously. I haven't brought it on tour for me. But I changed every piece of hardware, the machine heads, the nut, the frets, the bridge, everything about the humbuckers. Painted it matte black, and it's still in that color. It's a pretty dodgy paint job too. So, but that was it. So I took that guitar. That was the guitar that I wrote and recorded the Holy Diver album with and did the Holy Diver tour. When I was recording Holy Diver in Los Angeles in late 1982, I met Grover Jackson, and Grover actually gave me a Charvel Strat. Now, at this time, I was very intrigued by them because my hero, Gary Moore, had started playing Charvels, mm-hmm. and I'd heard Eddie Van Halen and this whole Floyd Rose thing, and it was just mind-blowing. So I'd come to L.A. really kind of wanting to play this, but it was a very, very different guitar from a Les Paul. It had a much wider neck at the headstock. It was an unfinished neck. Just the whole way the guitar sat in the body, it was a very, very different thing. And so I couldn't really get into it. It was kind of a slow burn with that. It was a slow learning process. So I did the entire Holy Diver tour using my black Les Paul with the Charvel as a backup. I'd also covered it in black duct tape to keep it matte black. So there's a little similarity. And then by the time we got into doing the Last in Line record, I was more comfortable with the Strat. And I actually did a lot of the Last in Line record with the Charvel Strat. And from that point on, for the rest of the 80s, I kind of played Stratocasters with the Wang bars. And then when I joined Def Leppard in 92, at the time I was using Tom Anderson Strats, which were beautiful, beautiful instruments. And I did the Adrenalize tour with Leppard using those. But then we got into the studio to do the Slang record in 96. And it felt kind of, Phil was doing that thing with the Wang bars right. and the Strat. I just wanted the contrast. For one reason or another, I kind of went full circle. I went back to playing a Les Paul. It wasn't even a conscious thing. Phil had this lovely Les Paul that he had in Spain when we were making the record. And I ended up doing most of the album with that guitar. And from that point on, from that tour onwards, I just went back to using Les Pauls. And I do kind of feel like it's been a journey, an evolution where I went full circle through it. But I feel this is my much more natural instrument to have a fixed bridge. You know, it's not in, for certain applications, it's nowhere near as good. But when you're playing rock and roll, you know, I mean, one of these through a Marshall or an Engel or the equivalent, you know, is what it's all about.
Tell me about these two in particular.
Well, this one, this was a black custom. I actually bought it here in Nashville in 1993 in a pawn shop for $400. It was a 78 custom. It was all black. And I took it to, well, I mentioned the Slang record we recorded in Spain. Yeah. And I flew, while I was flying over to make that record, we flew from Los Angeles to Frankfurt in Germany and got a connection to Malaga in Spain. When I got off the plane in Malaga, this guitar was ruined. It actually came around on the carousel, and there was duct tape around the case.
Oh, that's and I not, thought, a good sign.
Not a good sign. And I'm thinking, what do they think? I'm not going to notice something's wrong. So I opened the case. The entire body was split. It was split like this, and so all that remains of the original guitar is from here to the front pickup. We had it rebodied by Bolin Guitars. This is a Jimmy Page style Les Paul standard body, slightly smaller, I guess, and we had binding put on it. It's an SH3, I think, at DeMarzio. Same humbuckers as Phil uses. I steal the ones he doesn't want. Tone Pro's hardware, which I have on all my guitars. And just a lovely, lovely guitar. What I loved most about this guitar was the neck, so I'm happy that that much survived.
Yeah.
This guitar was actually put together for me by GMP Guitars last summer. It's basically a cheap and cheerful off-the-rack Gibson Les Paul that they entirely refinished for me. They sanded the neck to be a bit more like this one in terms of the feel and just the contours of it. Again,
do you like that, the no finish on the back of the neck?
I kind of do. You know, I don't like it when it's too dry, but I've kind of gotten used to it. I like the necks a little bit chunkier. This one isn't particularly chunky. The only other guitar, unfortunately, didn't bring it in here, is my 56 reissue with P90s. I love that guitar. I
mean, that's the gold top?
The gold top,
we saw that. Yeah,
that's to me, guitar. That's probably the most tuneful guitar I have. When I want pure tone, I go to that one. It's stacked with Lindy Freeland noise-canceling P90s. So this one is just kind of pieced together. I just particularly like the finish on it because Def Leppard, you know, the iconography of Def Leppard, so much of it has to do with the Union Jack and the red, white, and blue. And I'm from Belfast.
Right.
And so I got to kind of uphold my end, you know, and fly the flag for the Irish here. So
right, yeah.
Doing battle. But basically, I got a lot of Les Pauls, you know. But ultimately, you know, people ask me about gear and stuff and what to use and how to get the tone. The longer I do it, the more I think it's in your hands. Every guitar I pick up, I sound like me. I never sound like the owner of that guitar.
Right.
You know, like when Phil and I are in the studio, just for convenience, sometimes he'll grab my Les Paul through my rig and he'll start playing it. And it just sounds like Phil. It doesn't sound anything like me. And vice versa, if I pick up his Jackson to show apart and I play something, it doesn't sound anything like Phil. You know, so I just think it's the dynamics, the way you pick, the way you fret. I mean, it's all in your hands. You know? Ultimately, that's what it's about.
Man, the way you guys play together is just awesome.
It is a good combination because we have very different styles. You know, Phil is very light and fast. He articulates every note. You know, I play much more legato. Mm-hmm. You know, I let my fingers hammer on a lot more. You know, my style is probably a lot more blues based, being that Rory was my first real influence. You know, so and whereas Phil's a very technical guitar player, you know, he probably listened more to Al Di Meola and players like that. Right. I listened to Al Di Meola when I was young, but I didn't take it on board. I said, okay, that's impressive. Next, you know. So I've always kind of been more of a blues player, you know. But that's the story. That's the gear.
Well, man, it's just an honor meeting you. Thanks so much for the interview and congrats on everything. And
thank you very much.
Great tour.
Great.
Okay, I'm here with Wolfie. He's the guitar tech for Vivian Campbell of Def Leppard. Wolfie, thanks for joining us, man.
No problem. No problem at all.
Tell us about this rig. I saw you studying your notes there.
It's the leg bone connected to the knee bone.
Yeah, totally.
I have to do my crayon notes for you guys.
Yeah.
I don't even remember when I built the whole dang thing. But, well, I got all my notes from every rack that I built, you know. But, okay, so quick rundown. I'll start at the guitars because actually it's kind of important with the guitars.
Okay.
Let me put that up here. On the Flame Top, 58 gold reissue, gold top reissue. This is the tobacco. It's got dual packs. Pickup, piezo bridge.
Oh.
So cool. Stereo out, volume, volume, volume. Piezo volume, trim pot on the back.
Oh.
So I can keep my packs at the same level. So if I need to pull them out and put them on another guitar, they hit this at the exact same level. So I just trim out the piezo so it doesn't hit the pack so hard.
Oh, very cool.
So it keeps all my levels correct. And I got a backup guitar for this. That reason why that's important is pack one and pack two, the input coming in here out from the wireless to the multi-selector, RJM IS-8, MIDI controlled through the RJM Mastermind. During Foolin' and Hysteria, I can do one hit change and it switches not only the packs, but all the delays and all the sounds.
Wow, and you're doing the changes.
Yeah,
Vivian's not doing it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So he's doing the dirty clean stuff.
Yeah.
And we have all the stems, the sounds from the albums are actually in the fractal.
Wow.
So the stuff that the audience hears coming out is actually the sounds off the album.
The record, wow.
Just like the record.
That's awesome. And you just recut the record, right? Didn't they?
Yeah, so they found all those stems. So they got all that, digitized. So it was a cool thing. I put this rack together, didn't know what I was doing. First time I ever did a fractal, first time I ever programmed a mastermind, I was in hell.
Yeah.
So I got a guy named Rosh to help me out in LA, who's pretty much a brainchild on the fractal, and we learned the mastermind together. We were on speed dial with Matt Picone and Ron Minnelli. But so the signal path goes through there, out of the IS-8, it comes from the wirelesses in the channel select, the IS-8, four channels, out of the IS-8 into the front end of the effects gizmo, which is a loop selector, an amp selector, or loop selector. Mm-hmm. And then out of that, out of this is the dry signal into the mixer. The reason why I do that is I do swells with the level, with the mix level one, and it drives the level out in the front so the audience, it's a little sweeter, they can hear the feedbacks a little bit better, you know, on the delays and stuff like that. Just when he's coming into some tasty solos,
right.
Know, stuff like that. Out of the mixer, and directly out of the mixer, which is getting the JMP signal, which is right there. It goes dumps all of it stereo into the Axe FX. The reason why I use the Axe FX on the tail end, the wah pedal's in the front end of this too, but it goes from here to the wah pedal and back up again. So the wah pedal's in the front too, as well, the front of this.
And are you controlling the wah pedal as well?
No, it's auto return pedals.
Okay.
You know, it's all they make.
Yeah.
Dunlap makes auto returns. Vivian likes.
So he's
auto
got
returns.
A. So
yeah.
He's doing.
He's
Vivian's
doing the, hitting
yeah, it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it comes two channels into the Axe FX. The reason why I use the Axe FX on the tail end of the signal chain is because I got gates in it, I got everything I need in it, and I can shut the JMP completely off and use the amps internally in that, and I've still got my signal flow.
Whoa.
The Rocktron involved, which is his chorus.
Oh.
It's just a eight voice chorus. This has got an eight voice chorus in it, and it sounds great, but he prefers this, so I just put it in all of his racks.
Oh, cool.
And the other good thing about the Axe FX, it has two separate stereo outs. So I can build a whole signal chain internally in it of all kinds of goodies in there, which goes out of the Palmer to front of house.
Oh.
So the Palmer is talking to front of house and all their in-ears. And the second channel just goes into the power amps just for up there. Because Sav sometimes doesn't want to hear different sounds. It's too jangly. So I can just build it any way I want for the sounds coming into the... it's his main sound, but I could filter it and all that any way I want.
Okay.
And EQ it just for the amps up there.
Okay.
Because Sav doesn't wear in-ears.
Oh,
so
really?
So he's cueing off of basically everything off of Viv without in-ears.
So right here you've got both Vivian and Sav's rig.
It's just going to the cabinets so Sav can hear the cabinets, because Vivian just uses the cabinets for feedback.
Yeah, yeah.
And ambience.
Okay.
Because he's got his in-ears.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know, he loves feeding, old school feeding with
yeah,
it. You know,
yeah.
Because he, you know, with Dio and stuff, he didn't use anything.
Thin Lizzy.
Lizzy, the same thing.
Yeah.
So he's kind of an old school player when it comes to that, vault riding volume, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
So in this situation with Leopard, Sav needs to hear it because he doesn't have, you know.
Okay.
But so, sometimes the sounds are, the sounds that Ronan wants to hear out front aren't what Sav wants to hear up there.
Oh.
So I can now, if Sav asks for it or it sounds weird, I just fix it in the Fractal.
Wow.
I do all my programming off the computer, though. I use the software for everything.
How cool.
Yeah.
So you can tailor the mix just
for both front of house and for onstage.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of guys are doing it. Scotty does it, too, over there. So what a lot of people do is they'll do acoustic, like in one, and a hot patch out of the other, yeah. And they'll blend it together out front. You know, you can, instead of doing it, you know, I can do it too. I mean, I can do the same thing here with the piezo and the pickup working together, doing the same thing. But
yeah.
The piezo, it translates the acoustic perfectly.
Huh. That's very cool.
We used to use the magnetic pickup, but it was just too hot.
Yeah.
So it's driving the front end crappy. You know? Huh. So, but that's pretty much about it. That's how the leg bone connected to the knee bone.
And you're doing, okay, as far as like changes, is he's got a wah pedal.
That's it.
And everything else you're doing here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
In real time with them. That's great, man. Yeah. And swelling, volume swells by hand.
Yeah.
Wow, that's very cool. Hey, as long as we're here, can you just show us a couple of the guitars?
Sure, absolutely.
Like the Faves?
The Faves. This one.
Yeah, Vivian's always been a real Les Paul guy, right?
Pretty much. When he first started with the band.
White Snake, I think he
was everybody. Hockey.
Different era.
Yeah. It was a whole different thing. And then he got into the Andersons for a while when he first got in the band.
Yeah.
Because he'd been tracking and using those for a while.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of went back to the good old Les Paul.
Yeah.
And with Lizzie, he uses his original Les Paul, which was a 76 Deluxe that he routed out.
Really?
Yeah,
cool.
That's in the locker, and he still uses it.
Cool.
But it doesn't come out on Leopard, you know, and when we did the Last in Line stuff, he played it. And it's got, you know, 59 reissue Duncans in it.
Cool.
This has been his favorite for since I built it in 02. This was ran over by a luggage cart like this.
Nice.
By Lufthansa Airlines. And it crushed and broke the body in a couple places like this. And it sat at his house forever. And he paid $400 for it here in Nashville back in like 88.
Really?
And and I always thought it was a pretty cool guitar. You know, neck wore out.
Yeah.
You know, and it sat at his house and I kept going, we need to do something with it. So I sent it to Gibson and they didn't want to cut it out. They wanted to steam it and ruin the neck. And I said, no. So I sent it up to Bowling Guitars, my buddy Andrew at Bowling. He works for Taylor Swift now.
Oh.
And he's been working for Taylor Swift for years. Great guy. This is Page's 59 knockoff body.
Oh, wow.
They built all Page's knockoffs.
Because
he can't take them out on the road because of the insurance issue.
Sure.
So Andrew cut it out for me, puts his body on it. Mahogany body, so it's a mahogany standard body. It doesn't have bond.
Like the old school customs.
Old school. Yeah. But the customs fall like this.
Yeah.
You know, so he didn't want to deal with that. So I put a mahogany body on it. They sound sweet because they're all maple. The other ones are all maple.
Yeah.
Customs are, and they're real heavy.
Yeah.
He wanted a little bit lighter, and so Andrew sent it back to me, kind of just not done. And I put a quickie paint job on it, ruined it, of course.
Nice.
And Viv did that, but I what happened, it was lacquer, and I put the wrong paint over the top of lacquer and started peeling. Viv goes, I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Relic.
And I shot the top quickly, slapped it together. He didn't like the small frets, so we had it fretted. Bruce Nelson, who works for Stone Temple Pilots, I've known him since 1980. He does my fret work, and I had him buzzy it as well. That was pretty much about it. Once that was done, he's been playing it ever since.
That's great.
And pretty much goes every tracks with it. This goes to the studio with us, does it all.
Very cool. It's got the mojo, man.
Yeah, it's got it. It's got it going on.
I love that.
Then he, this is another one of his faves, the gold top, because of their P100s, Fralin P100s.
Oh.
And it's fretted to the exact same jumbos, Dunlop jumbos.
So the P100s are this stacked?
Nice. And one of his faves, because of the sound, plays it in Love Bites, you know, he just digs the tone, you know.
Yeah.
And it's light. He likes the lighter Les Pauls. What else? Ruby. This is Joe's guitar, actually, that I had GMP paint for me, hence the GMP sticker on the top.
Yeah, nice.
Because Dan, my ex-brother-in-law, paints all the guitars there for him.
Oh.
Glenn Matazel.
Oh, very cool.
So this is just one of those cheapy $1,000 Les Pauls, fretted, tone-proed. Everything's tone-proed. and buzzied, and he loves it. It plays great. It just and it sounds really good too. The pickups are the same thing Phil uses, which are Super 90s.
Oh, okay.
DiMarzio Super 90s, or Super 3s. Sorry. This one is just the same exact same thing. Another cheap $1,000 Les Paul. Had it painted, GMP, of course, Glenn Matazel. He's got his little name scribbled GM right there. Fretted, had him put the trapeze in it to make it kind of look like the custom.
Sure.
They did that on their own. This is the RAF, Irish RAF symbol.
Oh, cool.
That's on the back of the airplane, on the tails of the airplanes.
Very cool. And he likes the 70
style natural, little bit smaller neck, you know.
Yeah. The 58, no finish on the back.
No. So he goes back and forth, you know, but the 58 is a little bit bigger neck, of course, you know, but those are pretty much the faves, you know.
Perfect.
And this is old. This is a 91 J200 that he's had for years. We were in South Dakota, and I opened up this case after this case being in the truck, freezing cold. And when I opened the case, the guitar shattered.
Ooh.
Because of the change in temperature.
Right.
So I send it to Montana, and Viv goes, have him paint it red for me. This was the first red J200 ever to be done.
Very cool.
By Montana.
That's so cool.
And then, of course, he beats it up and loves it beat up.
Yeah.
You know, he smacked it with his fingers, you know, with his rings and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that tracks with us too, that, you know. And the P100 goes tracks, and this, and Ruby actually goes to back with Dublin and tracks there too.
Great.
So.
Well, Wolfie, great, man. Very thorough. Have a great tour, man. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
Hey, this is John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. We are backstage at the Bridgestone in Nashville. I'm with Phil Cullen of Def Leppard. Thanks so much for joining us, man.
Pleasure. Absolute pleasure.
Hey, we're by this big cache of guitars. Tell me a little bit about them.
They're pretty much all Jacksons apart from this Strat, but everything else, we change them out. You know, me Scott and Scotty, my tech, you know,
yeah.
Every year we go out on tour, there's a different bunch of them. You know, I do have a lot of Jacksons and they're...
You've had a relationship with those guys for...
It's almost 30 years. I got my first one in 84.
Wow.
Mutt Langer said, he actually gave me a Charvel to try. I'm like, well, this is great. And then he introduced me to Grover Jackson and it went from there, really. So, and they've been like customizing, making guitars. They're pretty much stock, except I like fatter necks. So on my versions, they're a little bit bigger than the regular.
Yeah, I felt one ears and it was like, I mean, it was literally like the fattest neck guitar.
Yeah.
But I don't, is that like a tone thing?
It is like a tone thing. I play very aggressively. I don't like the little banjo strings. They're 13 to 54. So yeah, so
13.
Yeah,
in standard tuning.
No, we're down a half step.
But still, 13 to 54. Wow.
So, and it just, I can dig in. I use metal picks as well, so it's a lot more. I don't know, firepower. You know, you just get a lot more aggression and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, we were just listening to your sound check, and man, your tone was just so great.
Thank you.
So
thanks.
Yeah, huge. Show us. Can you show us one you're
just
playing?
Sure, absolutely. This is my PC1. Model. This has been going for about 15 or 16 years actually with Jackson. It's the PC1. It's a Strat hybrid, really. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a DiMarzio. It's a Super 3 DiMarzio. That's a DiMarzio. This is a sustainer, Jackson sustainer. So all the feedback and, you know, emulate all the stuff I did on the Asteria album with an Ebo. You know, you just put that on, you can make it just sustain chords and everything.
Right.
Scotty had this made for me for my 50th birthday. He didn't tell me, and actually it arrived on my 51st birthday. But sent me, had that done. That's my birthday and everything else.
That's great.
This is a Floyd. It's got titanium, which I really think boosts the sounds. FU tone plus the block as well really makes a big difference. Adam Revere, who's around here somewhere, there he is. He's been doing this even on some of my acoustics. I've got like pegs that are made of titanium, and it just makes a broader sound. So I'm all for making it bigger, louder, and more aggressive sounding, really.
Right.
So a lot of these do this. So even if you just put a block on it, it makes a huge difference. But when you put the saddles and other stuff, it kind of really, really. So it's totally hot rodded. You know, I always wanted to get a guitar that was a combination of a Strat and a Les Paul, you know, which is the old thing, you know, back in the Van Halen days.
Right.
You know, that's what everyone was trying to achieve. And I think we did it with this one. So a lot of people play this, a lot of country guys play it. which is interesting. You think they can get very different tones, and it can just scream. So that's a PC one.
And huge frets on it, right?
Yeah, yeah, jumbo frets. That's another one. You've probably seen this one a lot.
Sure.
And it's got a sister as well that looks identical. But yeah, same deal. You know, I have the bigger the necks put on them. But apart from that, they're standard. Come out the box really kind of smoking, actually.
And you said DiMarzio pickups in the in the bridge. What is it, a Super Distortion?
It's a Super 3. I've used DiMarzio since I was 17, actually. Wow. My first one I ever heard, I was like, oh my God, I've got to get one of these.
And right.
I had it put on a Les Paul. My Destroyer, the Ibanez Destroyer from back in the 80s on all the videos.
Yeah, yeah.
Jackson just done a version of it because we're doing a lot of Pyromania songs and you know, it's in here somewhere. This is one of my newest guitars, but again, you know, that's what, on the records, when you hear like, you know, Photograph, Rock of Ages, all those solos and everything, it was on the original Destroyer, and this is actually great. It's got all the bells and whistles, you know, the titanium, it's got the sustainer, DiMarzio's here, and plus it's got the, you know, monster neck on it as well.
Yeah, so, oh, wow. Man, and a heavy guitar.
It is a bit heavy.
And like, neck heavy.
It is neck heavy, you have to really work at it. I mean, sometimes I'm like making mistakes, but it looks so cool, and it sounds so rad that I don't care. I'll take the odd mistake, so.
Yeah. You know. Okay, so it's a three-way switch. How do you have it configured as far as changing pickups?
On my Ibanez, it used to be, that was the humbucker. Pretty much like a Les Paul, really.
Yeah.
That would be that one, and this one would either be all three or just the middle one. On this particular one, that's a dummy. I never actually use it. So,
really?
Yeah. I use it pretty much for screaming, you know, that's a regular, that's a Super 3 on this one.
Yeah.
There's two... That's a sustainer, but that's a fast track DiMarzio.
Oh,
so
cool.
When you bypass the sustainer, it actually sounds like a humbucker.
Oh, yeah.
So you can get both, and then when you put that on, it just turns it into a, you know, goes straight back to that.
Cool.
So
cool.
I just wanted to be simple, especially for playing live.
Yeah, know? Absolutely. Yeah, because I mean, you're moving like the
absolutely.
Whole time.
Yeah.
And you know, I was saying, man, I've seen you several times before, and your tone is like better than ever. It was always always great, but man, just live, it is killing.
Cheers, thank you. I mean, it's the JMP Marshall, and Scotty actually introduced the Fractal to me, and we've been each year. He says, "Oh, let's try this," and just a different order of effects and how you do. And I obviously don't hit any effects or pedals on stage because I do so many vocals that you're kind of a. It'd be a bit screwed. I wouldn't be able to do back and forth and solos and everything else. So Scotty does them all from down here.
Yeah.
And it's so clean. I think we've actually got the sound, actually, for this tour. It's
yeah,
the best
man.
One so far, I think.
And, I mean, your records, that whole Mutt Lange huge guitar thing is really tough to emulate live, and you totally nail it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Right. Well, hey, man, show me another cool guitar.
They're all pretty cool, I've got to say.
They are really cool. So
like
that is
in there. An Extroyer.
Yeah, Extroyer, cool.
Yeah.
What is that, this guy right there?
That's a PC Supreme, it's a Jackson. Pablo Santana, who used to work at Jackson, I said to him, I took him a picture of five different guitars. I said, I want something that kind of looks like this, but doesn't look like any of these guitars. And I live like half an hour away from Corona, where Fender is. I went in one day and he had this piece of wood cut out, and it wasn't this one, it's another one. This is a prototype as well. And it was this, and it's got a thicker tone. It's got all the same kind of stuff, but it's a neck through.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is Koa with a maple top, and it's just really fat neck. And so it's got a real chunk about it. It's great, and it's wonderful to record with as well. It's
And that's the titanium as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's all my guitars, except... so this is a PC-1, but it's a new model, doing a limited edition Jackson. It's called a Stealth.
Cool.
And it's a sexy black satin finish. This one's standard. It's off the peg. You know, it's one of the first ones they made.
Yeah. And the neck is
it's
reasonable,
just a regular,
normal man.
Absolutely. Yeah. They are actually doing me one with a fatter neck and the titanium and that.
Oh,
so,
cool.
But you know, I'm so pleased with this. We start the show with this, and it sounds great.
Yeah,
so,
it looks great too.
I'll get by with that for sure.
And it was great hearing this with Vivian with that Les Paul, and those two guitars together was like perfect, man.
Absolutely, and we play through the same gear. You know, we use the same stuff. We sound absolute, completely different.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and it's together, it's like the perfect one-two punch. Yeah, awesome.
So what else have we got here? We also have, this is a PC one, but it's, you know, this glows in the dark. I've got this Bela Lugosi that glows in the dark that's in the Rock and Roll Museum of Fame. Same deal, actually, just two pickups. It's got the sustainer, which does work as a pickup as well. And there's a Super 3 under there, DiMarzio. I use DiMarzio for everything. You know, they're,
great.
Like I said, I've been using since I was 17, and just love them. I've tried everything, obviously, you know, over the years, but I just always go back to the DiMarzios.
Yeah.
And this is really cool. It's a silly guitar. Like I said, it glows in the dark. This was a Johnny Grez done a 50-hour paint job on it. So
it's beautiful, man.
It's really cool. So there's that.
Nothing subtle about that one.
No, not at all. I mean, you know, reverse headstock. Right. But it is a PC-1. It just doesn't quite look like it.
You know. That's great.
Like total 80s kind of vibe to it. And then this is Felix. This is the most played guitar I've got. You know, my mum got me this for my 21st birthday.
Wow.
And it was a Japanese made Strat. You know, we it's been through everything. You know, it got lost in China for like 2 weeks. It had a Kaler on it. It had something else on it. And now it's got the Floyd. The Mike Shannon at Jackson, actually, it started breaking. The wood started breaking. And they said, oh, we'll just get you a new body. I said, no, it's my mum's 21st birthday. And this is the guitar that was all the stuff on Hysteria you hear.
Yeah.
Pour Some Sugar. Everything was this guitar.
Really?
Yeah. So it used to have a humbucker in it. And, you know, and like I said, they fixed it. They put some hard rock maple in there. And now you can just go crazy with it. And plus, these have got DiMarzio choppers, I think they are. Mm. So it's like a Strat Plus. I mean, it still sounds very much like a Fender.
Sure.
And a Strat, but it's got a little bit more edge to it. So I play this on Love Bites. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So this has been in the Fender Museum for about 6 years, actually. And I just got it back for tour. So I'm actually playing it again. So
how cool, man.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, great to get it back out in
definitely,
the
definitely, yeah. And like, you know, when you hear like Animal or any of this stuff on the radio,
that's the one.
That's it, yeah. And Steve used it a lot, you know, Armageddon It, Rock It, all of that stuff. It was all that guitar.
That's too cool. Great, man. Well, hey, it's such an honor to meet you, and thanks so
much,
man.
Pleasure.
Have a wonderful tour, and
thank you.
Congrats on everything.
Very cool, thank you.
Hey, this is John Bolger with Premier Guitar. We are just minutes before the show. I'm with guitar tech Scott Appleton with Def Leppard. Thanks so much for joining us, man.
Anytime. Nice to be here.
Hey, tell me about this rig.
Well, we're starting with the RJM Music Mastermind GT, which is our controller unit. That in turn controls a Marshall JMP1 preamp and a heavy traffic area, as you can see. It controls a Marshall JMP1 preamp and a Fractal Audio Axe FX2 for all of our effects. So a very simple rig, we keep it very simple from there. From the outputs of the XLR outputs from the Fractal goes to front of house and the monitors. There are no mics on stage for Phil's rig whatsoever.
Wow.
So it's all run direct. I do have an old Randall RRM 250 power amp in the rack though, which actually powers two EVH 412 cabinets on stage, which Phil uses. So
cool.
Very simple rig. Signal flow just basically comes in from the wireless through the RJM Music IS-84 input selector into the JMP1, into the Fractal. I've got a backup JMP1 and a backup Fractal as well. It's, you know, very simple, straightforward type unit. So.
Is Phil doing the controls or are you doing it?
No, I do all the program changes for the entire show, so yeah.
And as far as the sounds on the Fractal, have you programmed those? Any presets?
Yeah, I've done all the presets for them, so make sure we got all our delay times correct and all that type of thing.
Wow.
So, but yeah.
All right. As far as the actual amp sounds, were those something where you mic'd amps
We're using the JMP1 preamp, so all of our amp sounds are actually off the JMP1.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, so we're using the Axe FX for effects only.
Oh.
But I do actually use it on Phil's acoustic guitar too. I've got a separate one for his acoustic, which we're using the tone matching block to actually give his acoustic guitar the piezo to pick up a little bit more of a natural tone as well.
So. Wow, so a bulletproof setup.
Yeah, it's really nice. It works really well. It's very flexible. Obviously, with the Fractal, you've got a lot of different routing options as well as effects, and the effects are all amazing qualities.
So. Yeah, and consistent every night.
Yeah, especially with the in-ears, it's really nice. You've got an amazingly consistent sound from night to night.
Yeah, and he's able to get like feedback and stuff like that when...
Yeah, all of his guitars have sustainers built in, so that's how he gets his feedback from most of it. But, you know, that way he's not location-dependent in order to get feedback type things.
So. Well, great. Yeah. Great. Well, hey, as you can see, it's getting pretty busy here, so I'll let you go. You got work to do. Thanks a million.
Anytime, man.
Okay. We're here with Roger Veege, who is Rick Savage's tech. Roger, thanks for joining us, man.
Yep, thank you.
Hey, I realize we're kind of cramped in here, but could you tell us about the signal chain?
Yep. Yeah, obviously, it starts at the wireless, goes into the switcher at the top, then goes into the GCX, and then we're into the preamp section of the power amp through the DIs. So we got one DI in the front end, which is just dry signal, then into the power amp. Then I'm back out of the DI into the GCX. Then we just chain the effects on the tray. So if there's a Sans amp, the delay.
Now, are you controlling the delay and stuff like that?
I do. I control all the. Basically, I'm switching for each song because we're running a computer rig with bass pedals as well. So that's really important more than anything. So I've got probably three songs where I'm doing some delays and, you know, dirty sound.
Yeah.
You know, really it's pretty simple. You know, Sugar is a Sans amp the whole song. So it's just, really, that's just on, you know.
And he's not on ears, right? He's the only guy that he's using wedges.
Yeah, so there's wedges all over the stage for him.
And what kind of cabinet, is he blowing through a cabinet on stage?
Yeah, he's got four cabinets up there. You'll see it.
What are they?
You can see them there. I don't even know what they are, to tell you the truth. Because my stuff's always covered up, but it's all GK stuff.
Or GK.
Yeah, it's all GK stuff, but I'm not sure exact what. It's old stuff now, you know. This is all the amps are outdated sort of thing, so I need to...
Four big old
They're 410s.
GK 410
so 410 cabinets.
Oh, okay.
So they sound good. It sounds good up there. Yeah. You know, possibly all the wedges around and, you know, there's a couple subs up on the risers stuff. So it's, you know, it does sound good up there.
And has the rig been basically the same since you first started working with them years ago?
No, it's the top half is. We've pretty much switched out the amps and the computer stuff. So main stage computer stuff to run, you know, to run run the bass pedal.
Yeah, okay.
Stuff. So that's all different, you know, so
So
in the GCX, we're just basically going through each of the pedals, you know, down the line into the G major is number one, and then we're into the Sans amp, number two, which is in the different loops, you know, well, there's one, two, three, four, I think I'm using four loops, that's it. And then at the end of it, I just go out into the effects DI, on the right, and that's his effects sound for the sound guys. They got the dry sounds for those guys, and then I've got two channels on the computer for the bass pedals. You know.
So is he running bass pedals on almost every song, or
about half or so? Yeah.
It's gonna be complicated, right?
Yeah, I mean it's pretty simple. I mean, really.
Playing would be.
Yeah, there's a couple of songs where he's really playing high, and he's bouncing all over the pedals.
Wow.
Stuff. So there's a couple songs like that. So like Rocket is like that stuff. So it's but he's been doing these pedals since ever I can remember.
Could we show him these bass pedals?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about this bass pedal.
Yeah, these are the newest, which they don't make them anymore, so it's hard to find them. You gotta get them on eBay and stuff, but he's had five different versions of this. But these were all MIDI, and we've changed them all to 5-pin stuff, so it's just easy connections. You know, really, that's the biggest thing. The MIDI stuff out on the stage is never a good idea.
Right.
You know, stuff. So, but you know, with these good connections, it's great. I really have only had one problem probably the whole time been with them with these. So, yeah.
So pretty bulletproof.
Totally bulletproof. These are the amps, not so much, because they heat up. So you got to have the fans going. You can feel the fans and the air moving.
Right.
Stuff. So that's really important on these GKs stuff. But the rest of the rig, it's good. You know, it's pretty simple, like a bass rig should be.
Right. Right.
You know. So.
Could you show us a couple of the basses while we're here?
Yeah. His main bass. These are custom shop basses. Now, at one point, the Jackson. These were like a part of their main line, but I know they've stopped making them this exact design. But so these are all custom shop now, and this is his main base.
Get a shot where you kind of call
that the it's the black jack is the black Union Jack.
Cool
stuff. But he used to have the he's got the regular blue Union Jack, and that was his main for 10 years. You know, forever stuff. So, but yeah,
is he usually on a five string?
He's always played five strings for since I started working for him in 2001, I think. That's what it was. So.
And the active EMGs.
Yeah, these knobs are all. Yep, they are. Everything's active, but they're all inside. These are fake stuff. So I've put the controls inside.
Oh really?
So I've disconnected them because he sweats a lot. So I used to have lots of problems with the. Just that would cut out during the show.
Oh really?
Yeah, because he'd like to bang them and stuff, and just with the water and sweat. So now we can, just the volume works.
Oh really?
So.
Oh, yep. Cool.
So it's
set it and forget it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Exactly.
All right, so. That's great. Well, let's see one more if we could.
Yep.
I think we show one more and we'll probably be done. That'll be great.
Yeah, because really on this show he's only playing these two. So, and this is his football club that he supports, Sheffield Wednesday stuff. And that's their kind of logo, that little logo there. And these are their colours stuff. But he'll play this halfway in the show for a few songs and back to the main one.
So he pretty much he hunkers into that one.
Yeah, he'd play it all night if he could. He loves it, sounds good. You know, it's steady, it doesn't move, nothing moves. You know, I haven't had to do any setups, really change anything. Everything's great with these basses.
Great. So, how long do you go on a set of strings on?
I change them every day.
Wow.
Yeah, the black one every day. This one's every other stuff. So.
Wow.
Just I mean, it, you know, probably could get away with every other day or every 3 days, but really, it does sound a lot better.
Huh.
So with these, you know, like you said, if you sweat a little bit.
Right.
You know. Stuff, but yeah.
Well, hey man, thanks so much for joining us today.
No, thank
you. Have a great tour.
Appreciate it.
Okay, cheers.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.